You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome into the Husker 24/7 Hoops Cast. I'm Brian Christofferson. I'm joined by Michael Bruns. And I don't know about you, Michael, but This is nice. We've got a Husker basketball program that has got our full attention. That's got people like talking about, could they play in Omaha? Could they play over here? Could they 9 seed, 10 seed? Did you see this guy where he had him? I can't believe that. And you know, we love doing the football stuff in the offseason. We're still doing the football stuff with all these, you know, you're going through right now, position groups and everything. But it's nice. It's nice to have this rolling into March where there's a chance to actually go dancing, and we've got that conversation.
Yeah, I've paid more attention to Bart Torvik the last week or so than I would have ever thought coming into this season. So it's a nice change, and we're still a month away from football spring practice starting. This will be a nice little diversion as it seems. I mean, game by game, this thing's becoming more real. They're on a little bit of a heater at the right time, which we can get into here. But yeah, it's fun. I like February basketball when there's something to worry about.
Is Bart your go-to guy? Is he your go-to like numbers guy for college hoops?
I like he's the basketball analyst for the spreadsheet guy. I feel like okay. He's got all the numbers laid out. Lenardi's a little bit more like, I'm going to type this up on a Word document and send it out.
He's like more my speed. Yeah.
He's got it like on the back of a napkin. but no, I appreciate the Torvik. And he's, we can talk about this later, but he's taken a shine to Nebraska a little bit the last couple games here. At least his spreadsheet is.
Him and John Beilein. I mean, the former Michigan coach was just, he's like, I wish I could coach his team. I thought he was maybe going to try to just knock Fred right out of his chair. Like, I think I'll take it from here, Fred. I like this club. I like their moxie. Let's go. After the win on Sunday, now an analyst for BTN, man, he had some glowing things to say about the Huskers.
Is the volume and degree to which the Big Ten Network talks about your program, is that a good sign? Like that's a pretty good temperature read of kind of where your team's at, right? Like I feel like a couple weeks ago everybody was kind of talking about Nebraska a little bit on there because they had to, because they'd broadcasted the game, they'd sent, you know, Kevin Kugler or whoever to Lincoln, and they had to talk about it to justify the cost. But now it's like it's effusive praise. Even the color analysts that I would say are a little bit harder to win over are all of a sudden on the bandwagon.
Yeah, I'm going to sound like that guy who's like, they're not talking about my Vikings enough now here on ESPN. But yeah, I would say that's true. Like even last week, I noticed there was a little bit more shine, I felt like, to the Gophers, like what the Gophers had going. And I think people in Nebraska's program, some players notice that stuff. And well, this is a great segue into Sunday's game, which Nebraska won 73-55, by the way. But I was listening to Jamarcus Lawrence do an interview on the Huskers radio network last night. And he mentioned, I guess I didn't know this, but there was a little bit of a something from that first game in Minneapolis that stuck with the guys. Like he meant like a minor altercation. I don't want to build it up into something it's not, but like it, he mentioned it and said it was with them. And so, yeah, they were, they came out and, you know, I could tell from the first 3 to 4 minutes of that game, like, they had it on defense. It was just like they've got that edge where it's going to be very difficult for Minnesota to get into their offensive set at all. Ben Johnson said as much after the game. It was hard to even get entry passes in that were basic for them. And it was just an impressive, like, want-to kind of performance. Like, the shooting wasn't great. Nebraska was only 39% from the field in the win. You had like four of your main shooters go 0 for 11 from behind the arc, and yet you win going away. And, you know, I was kind of defensive about the win over Penn State. I thought it was like a good sign, even though people thought it wasn't the most pretty game. They kind of followed up off of that one, Bruns, with how they played against Minnesota. It was just like such high end energy on the defensive end. If they're playing that kind of ball on that end of the floor, they're going to be tough the rest of the way.
I like the idea of going back to what you're saying about Jamarcus Lawrence having a LeBradford Smith moment. Like somebody from Minnesota did something and you know, that just blows up into this huge thing like Michael Jordan used to do, but I digress. Two games in a row, Nebraska's, you know, not looked great offensively out of the chute. And, you know, the first, what, like 9-10 minutes of that game against Minnesota, you know, Nebraska looked okay on offense. They were getting good shots. I felt like they just weren't going down. But the defensive efforts there, and it's been that way even before the Penn State game a little bit. I mean, it felt like before that and earlier in the year, you kind of saw it in fits and spurts where it's like, okay, this can be, you know, a good defensive team if they really kind of dedicate themselves to it. What do you kind of attribute the change though to? I mean, it seems like something's flipped. I don't know if it's the kind of change in roles. You know, I really like what they've done with kind of the bigger lineup right out of the gates. You know, I think that's something that gives teams issues with some of the length that they have. Mm-hmm. But what do you kind of think the kind of X factor's been over the last 4 or 5 games that's kind of allowed them to just be really kind of a tough team to score against?
I don't know if Fred would use different terminology than this, but basically I feel like they crash so hard. Like when they come with their double, that guy is coming with so much intensity right now and making it so disruptive. Like even if the guy gets the ball entered into him, immediately they're swarming in a way and being just so alive, like with their hands and everything. Like it's going to be a difficult pass out of that for your next option on the play for the offense. So it just feels like the activity is at such an intense level right now. And I thought Ben Johnson had one of the most interesting quotes I've heard from an opposing coach covering, or, you know, again, after playing Nebraska. And he talked about that's what desperation like looks like. That's what it's supposed to, you know, be. And it was just interesting after years and years of hearing opposing coaches come in and have these niceties that are said after a tough Husker loss where you're like, yeah, thanks for that. But everybody knows that the record's 10-14 or whatever it is. This was a legit like deal where the opposing coach wasn't perturbed at his own team so much as just saying like, okay, that's kind of a buzzsaw right now, like how much they want it. And that's going to actually be the example for my team of like how much we're going to have to want it to get there. And Minnesota, I mean, if they, Minnesota wins that game, they're a half game ahead of Nebraska in the standings, you know, in the Big Ten. And so it's not like they're on a way different plane. But for that night, when everything really was on the line for the Gophers and their postseason sort of aspirations, Nebraska just like, it was true. Like, I knew exactly what he was saying. He knew at halftime they were down only 8 points, but Nebraska had this enthusiasm on the defensive end of the floor and knew what they wanted to do so well that it was going to be very tough for Minnesota to get going in that game. And yeah, since February 1st, they're like top five in some defense metrics nationally. And if you think back, this is the same team where in early January and some stuff, there were games like against Wisconsin and Madison where it was like wide open jumpers, you know, and people were like, how are they ever going to get through this league with that kind of defense? That was like the talk out of that game. And so they've really flipped a switch on that side.
Yeah, that the game at Iowa kind of felt that way too, where it was like they didn't even want to beat, like whatever the opposite of desperation is, that's kind of what it felt like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
Just kind of going off of like, I mean, it was a slow start offensively, but a guy that always stands out to me for various reasons is Josiah Alec. Like, he always has like three or four plays a game where it's a hustle play. It gets everybody going. I mean, how much is in your mind has he kind of meant to this team? Because I mean, he kind of plays like he plays desperate. I mean, he plays like a guy that's like towards the end of his career that wants something good to happen. And I think there is kind of an infectiousness to that they kind of pick up on.
Yeah, and he's a guy who I think, too, since, you know, mid-January or something, has really changed in the fact that he's never going to be, like, an awesome scorer, like a guy when he lines up to shoot that three from the corner, you're always kind of like, no, 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 and then once in a while, you know, you're like, all right, yeah, that's fine, nice shot, you know?
Yeah.
But he's been more authoritative, too, like around the rim. I feel like the last five or six games, you know, when he does have those chances, he's cashing them in. Like, he's not doing that extra move and spinning around and losing the ball like was happening, I think, earlier in the season. And so I think he's been a lot more defined in what he wants to do offensively around the basket when he gets those chances. And yeah, he's just such a fascinating player because he's always kind of falling all over the place. And sometimes you're like, oh, how's this going to work out? But it does. And, you know, he had the one missed dunk on the alley-oop, which was too bad, but he made up for it. You know, he had the play, I thought, which was the signature play of the game, where Nebraska plays like 25 seconds of great defense, but Minnesota actually breaks it down. Looks like they're going to have a drive, get a foul or a bucket. And Alec stuffs it at the rim. And then Rink Mass saves it one-handed, flying over the cameraman to Bryce, who feeds Gary, who hits the three. And that was like the game in a snapshot right there. It was just like that type of defensive effort, giving him nothing easy, not letting the ball go out of bounds, making the extra play to keep it, and then finishing it. And Alec started it. And then he was the one, of course, who had the bucket plus one where he got really hammered on the flagrant. The game wasn't like getting dicey, but Minnesota had scored a few and it was down to 15 with about 6 minutes left. So it was like, all right, you know, that little bit of uneasiness, and it sort of said, no, not this one's done. So he was big in all those moments, and he's kind of had a knack for that lately. And I do think other guys really feed off of it. Like, if he's going this hard, I'm going that hard, you know, that sort of thing.
That Minnesota game was one that you were kind of sneaky worried about, wasn't it?
I think it's been, I know this is a gushing podcast right now, but I mean, they won four in a row by 15 plus. And I just think we can't take for granted that they're 9-0 in the league at home. Like, yeah, they're a tough outfit there, but it's still hard to keep your nose completely clean and not get dinged one time there. And, you know, knock on wood, they got to go do it against Rutgers on Sunday too. to finish it off, but we're talking about the best, that'll be the best home season in Husker history wins wise if they win on Sunday. And I think Minnesota was a tough matchup going in. I thought they were playing amongst the top five teams in the league. The talk they were getting last week from the BTN guys was warranted. They were up 10 on Purdue in the second half at Purdue. They were up 20 at Iowa, and they lost both those games. So it's an L, but they're that kind of team where they're capable of, they can get up on you. And they came in with one of the best assist guys in the country, in Elijah Hawkins, and he had no assists with like 8 minutes left in the game and ended with two. So I thought it was going to be a challenging matchup. And then 10 minutes into the game, even though the score was like 9-9, I just thought Nebraska's got this, because it just felt like they'll get it on the offensive end enough. And the defense was so dialed in, I just had a hard time imagining it was going to go another way.
Three regular season games left. And then obviously the Big Ten tournament. You've been pretty dialed in on the Big Ten tournament seeding stuff. Do we want to hit on that a little bit before?
Yeah, we can.
Before someone Bart has to say about things. And where do things stand now for Nebraska? I mean, what do you kind of see as the ideal for them going into? I mean, you still got to. You got to do something in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, I think. But what's the picture look like for Nebraska right now with three games left?
To get into the dance, like to say, like, we're not going to worry about this, or just for the Big Ten tournament?
Let's go Big Ten tournament first, because I think there's still a lot to be decided there.
Yeah, well, right now Nebraska's in fifth place as we do this podcast, a half game behind both Northwestern and Wisconsin. Northwestern and Wisconsin each have four games left. Nebraska has three. Nebraska's good in the tiebreaker scenarios, as I know they're good like head to head against Northwestern and Wisconsin. Purdue, and we won't get all into it, but Purdue ends up factoring into this, and Nebraska's win over them is helpful in those tiebreakers. But if there's a three-way tie, I believe it then goes to the like within your group of three teams, like how do you fare against one another and what's your total record? And I think if you spit those numbers out, Wisconsin would have an edge over Nebraska, but Nebraska would have an edge over Northwestern, because Wisconsin Northwestern only played once and Wisconsin won it. And so I believe Nebraska sits good, long story short, in a three-way tiebreaker too, where you can get in the double buys like the four seed. So the tiebreakers are good. I still think Nebraska has to win two of three at least. And it's still not a given, because I look at Wisconsin Northwestern schedules, and I know the Badgers have scuffled and all that, but it's not like they can't get it done. Wisconsin still does have to play at Purdue. But there's other things. I think they could win a few still here to get to like 13. I'm looking at Northwestern. They still have to play at Maryland and at Michigan State, and they host Iowa and Minnesota. So those aren't easy games for Northwestern. The road games are always tough, but then those are two tough home games the way Iowa's playing, and Iowa's trying to work their way into the conversation. So I think from Nebraska's end, win two, and if I had to bet, I could think that could get them at least a four seed, but there's no guarantee of it. So win two of three, and I think there's a good shot, but it's not settled in stone.
So still work to do. Yeah, still work to do there. Kind of an interesting one coming up this week against Ohio State, who all of a sudden is playing decent basketball, playing some passionate basketball. They're a talented team anyways. I mean, that was kind of the thing, that the talent was there. It just, for whatever reason, with Holtman wasn't really clicking there. They made the change. Interim head coach. That's a potential quad one win for Nebraska on the road right now. Is it as simple to say, like, okay, if you go and get Ohio State, like, you're sitting pretty right there? Like, I mean, that's another kind of feather in the cap in the quad one games. for Nebraska, which I believe they would be 5-6 in quad one games at that point. So, I mean, it's fraught with potential issues, but it's a potential big win if they can get it done on the road again.
Oh, it'd be huge. We're getting to the point where everyone wants to say, well, they're in now. And I actually like the fact for this team that the goalposts keep moving, like sort of like you feel like by the time you get to game day each time, it's like, well, what if they lose this one?
Yeah.
You know, people are a little worried about it. I think that's sort of a good edge, though, to keep on your team where you feel like you're always having to prove yourself, you know. And it's interesting, like I'm not here to fight the system or whatever, but it is funny how like certain programs get talked like Michigan State's on a 3-game skid and it's sort of like, yeah, they'll still get in as an 8 or 9, you know. Like in Nebraska, it feels like if they get dinged one time, everybody's gonna want to have that conversation about where they belong. Ohio State, the good part is because it is a quad one game right now, and if Ohio State won, it would obviously be good for their metrics. So it would probably stay a quad one game, like, you know, if Nebraska loses it. And so it wouldn't really like hurt Nebraska in a big way, I don't think, as opposed to the other two after it. Like, this is a game where it's more, I would hate to use the term house money game, because you're playing for the double bye and all that stuff. And like you say, you're very much playing for that, like, kind of stamp, like, okay, what do you got to say now sort of thing. We beat Ohio State. That's another quad one win. But it is definitely a game where I feel like for the first time in like 5 games, Brunts, to me watching it, there's a little less tension if they lose it. If that, you know, like as far as, and I don't want to open the door like that, that's okay. Like,
come on, you're lowering the bar, Brian. No, yeah, it's not okay.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think the double bye is a worthy pursuit too, back to that. And so this game means a lot for that, because I do think, you need at least 2 of the last 3, and here's a chance to get one of them. By the way, real quick, Wisconsin, I made it seem like they just have a cakewalk. They don't. I mean, they Indiana could help Nebraska. It's at Indiana. They're not playing well, but if Indiana could, scuff up Wisconsin, and then Wisconsin plays Illinois at home, so tough game. Rutgers home, they should do it, but then at Purdue, so they could get beat a couple times. But yeah, I think this game at Ohio State, I mean, it's an interesting one because the Buckeyes are trying to play their way into the conversation a bit, and they've got an interim coach in Diebler, and there's like juice around, like maybe he's the guy, you know, maybe they found a little something they had because they won against Purdue and now they won at Michigan State. So it's kind of a fun game because it doesn't feel like the weight of the world is on Nebraska's shoulders going in, but Ohio State's playing for a lot. Nebraska's obviously playing for something. It should be a pretty intense atmosphere.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, 2 weeks ago, you would not have expected that at all, but I mean, credit to Ohio State for kind of playing the way that they have with an interim head coach. It feels like in college sports now, when you have a change that early in the season, or that, you know, when the season's still going on, it just feels like it's so easy to just pack it in, you know. And I know you don't do that as a competitor or whatever, but I don't know. I mean, that was a team that I think, you know, they're not lacking for talent either, so having a little bit of extra motivation is maybe not a good thing for any team going in there.
I had 24/7 Sports did a preseason poll, and they asked me to pick teams. Everybody in our league did it from our sites. And I had Ohio State as like a top 5 or top 6 team in the league before the year, because I thought they were picking up steam last season. And yeah, with their talent, when their talent is on, they're very tough. Bruce Orton's very good guard. Jameson Battle is a guy who can go get 20 points on you. So they're a tough squad, but you know what? Nebraska right now has such a confidence to them. I don't discount what they can get done there. And now they've won one on the road at Indiana. And so you've got that monkey off your back, and, you know, maybe they play with a little bit of looseness, you know, going into that game, you know, realizing like, you know, we got this where we want it. We kind of know what everybody's role is. Let's get, just go do it. And so, it's a huge deal that Ofer conversation is out the window after the win at Indiana on the road. And now you can kind of just go play ball and not have that like hanging in the air.
All right. Do we run quickly through kind of where things sit on Tuesday morning, February 27th, with some projections? Lenardi, I believe, is not out yet this morning. This is what my life has become. So right now, Bracket Matrix, which tracks 107 different publicly available brackets, all 107 now have Nebraska in the NCAA tournament. And last week when we did this little exercise, they were kind of on that 10 line, like 10, 11. Now the average seeding is 9.28. So the last week has done Nebraska well, at least in terms of kind of the composite of the public brackets. Let me throw two matchups out there for you that are currently floating in the ether, and tell me what you think. All right. Nebraska as a 10 seed matched up against BYU as a 7 seed in Salt Lake City. Do you like that matchup?
I mean, no, not playing a team basically in their backyard. No. But honestly, I like any matchup, right? You know, like I
matchup guy.
No, I mean, I'm just saying, like, this team I think is going to be so excited to go play, you know, like against whomever in that sort of setting, that I really don't think there's going to be this, oh, like, woe is me if once it comes out, if it is a viewed as a difficult setup, you know, or something like that. But on the surface, no, I don't like that, because just like I'm sure a 7 seed wouldn't like it if they get sent to Omaha to play 10 seed Nebraska. It'd be the same thought process there.
One more for you. Nebraska is a 9 seed in the East against Colorado State as an 8 seed. I believe that would be played in Charlotte, so you're not getting the... You get the direct flight from Omaha, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
If that's where it is, which I believe it is. But Colorado State, which, by the way, the Mountain West, 16, a 6-bid league right now.
Yeah.
Looking like that's probably what the Big Ten is going to be.
Yeah, probably at the moment. I don't know if you watched Colorado State this year.
I have. They're one of the few teams that's actually beaten Creighton. They got
Creighton early. They put it on them. Yeah, I mean, any of these games, you're gonna look at the matchup. You're gonna be like, okay, they got two or three dudes you really gotta be, you know, on the watch for, and you are gonna respect. And Colorado State's would be a formidable draw, but anybody's gonna be at this point. So I would take that one any day of the week. You know, I saw one where it was like Nebraska, Florida Atlantic, or something, and that would be fun. You know, like FAU's kind of the darling school this year that's not the big name program, and I spent a little time in Boca Raton back in the day, so I would enjoy that one
down in Boca. Did mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing from you, you just don't care about NCAA tournament projections at this point. You just you're in or out. You don't care where they're going. They could be playing Duke in Cameron, and you would be completely fine with that matchup as long as they're in.
I think BYU Salt Lake would be a bad deal, like comparatively to others. But I'm just making the point, like, I think this is the type of roster to be like, okay, that's what it is. Let's go, you know. And when you haven't been around it in a while, you're going to be pretty enthusiastic about we're sending you to, you know, wherever Timbuktu will go. And you're not going to complain too much. So I think that's the way this team will be when that moment comes. But it is interesting how they're improving their line seating a little bit potentially, because I do think for a while people are like, man, how do they even move above this 10 seed category. Well, if they just keep winning, I mean, who knows? Maybe you're like in that 8 seed, and I don't know that they could work as high as like a 7, but let's say they won out and you had like a great week in Minneapolis weekend where you win a couple. Maybe you work that high. So I think that's sort of the max would be 7 seed, kind of the dream. Like they just really go on a tear and they keep winning. But right now, if I had to call it, I still think it'll be like a 9 or a 10 seed probably when it's all said and done. But as long as they avoid Dayton, let's do it.
That seems to be that's the big one that, I mean, they were kind of on a lot of last four in lists and, you know, some of the Dayton matchups. I know CBS had them playing Colorado and Dayton a couple weeks ago or last week, and that's no longer the case. So if you can avoid that, that's great. But yeah, a positive trending there, at least according to people that do this stuff every day. So I'm going to need you to get a little bit more peppy with the what ifs when it comes to bowl season. We're going to get that from you early on, I think.
Do you have a favorite matchup then, or something, or that's like kind of tickles your fancy?
I don't love BYU. I think Nebraska, like I was kind of saying earlier, I think if they can use that big lineup to their advantage. I mean, at times against Minnesota, you had Mast out there with Alec, Gary, and Bryce Williams. I mean, there's not a lot of teams that are going to be able to put that kind of a physical lineup on the floor. And I think there's definitely going to be lineup or matchups that Nebraska is going to be that find really favorable. I would not consider BYU one of them. I think they would be okay to avoid that one, but you know, Colorado State, I wouldn't hate that matchup. I mean, that's a veteran team, but I mean, I think Nebraska could get some stuff done there. So, you know, that's kind of been the one out there that I was kind of like, oh, all right, maybe with the 9-8. So, but yeah, we'll see. I'm with you though. I mean, I don't see, from kind of where they are now, things changing significantly without like a really serious deep run in Minneapolis.
Yeah, I don't either. It would be really hard to like play yourself beyond like the 8-9 game. I mean, it could be done. Like if you won out and like the rest of the regular season and you're 13 wins in the league and you won 2 in Minneapolis or something. But I think that's kind of the positioning. And I guess I've sat in enough press conferences listening to Fred Hoiberg this year where I'm like, we're not through February yet, Brunts. Like, that's what he would say. That's what he was saying after the one the other day.
So, let me have my fun.
Some people are trying to goad him with like the big picture questions and traits of his team compared to some of his other tournament teams. He's like, no, we're not going there, which is how they got to be over there. I get it.
Yeah, no, that's all fair. I get that. I think it's more for the fans at this point to enjoy that stuff. And I'm definitely enjoying that stuff. By the way, Bart Torvik, as of last night, had Nebraska at 92.5% chance to get in the tournament. They were in the 70s last week and even lower the week before that. So it's arrows up from Bart, just going up.
It's good. I mean, bottom line, just keep playing ball the way they have last couple of weeks and it'll take care of itself. I mean, that's all the way they have to look at it. They'll win a couple if they do that. I'm not one of those that acts like Michigan is, you just say, okay, that's not, whenever you go on the road, you got to handle your business. Like Purdue went to Michigan on Sunday and had half the arena was for Purdue. And did you hear that, by the way? Like I was like writing in the background, I hear the noise and I'm like, oh, Michigan's on a run or something. It's like, it's all Purdue fans there. Jeez. And yet they had to kind of fight and win by 8 points or whatever at Michigan. And so you got to know, like, nobody's going to give it to you easy probably the rest of the way. And so you've got to be dialed in every night.
Anything else?
I don't think so. I think we've, we've hit on everything we need to. It'll be interesting. Next week, we'll have a lot to talk about, though. We'll have two games in the bank, and we'll see what Torvik says then.
Yeah, I mean, might be a hundreds, just all hundreds, if things go well for Nebraska these next two.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening. That is the Husker 24/7 Hoops cast. We'll have a lot more, of course, with hoops, a lot of football, baseball, had a good weekend. So things are looking up around here. Come back to Husker 24/7 for all the latest.
Hello, everyone. It's Micah Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.